back to the fundamentals of faith. Brother Hagin called this the ABCs of faith. And it's actually, it's what it is, but it's there's a little more to it when you look at it as the fundamentals. Because anything worth doing has basic fundamentals to it. When you learned how to drive, there are basic fundamentals involved in that. And then you learned how to be safe, and you had to go be good enough at it to get a driver's license. And what is amazing to me is that they found out today there were some guys trying to steal a car, but they didn't know how to drive a stick shift, and they ran off. Of course, I learned how in one drive a stick shift. I wasn't but 9 years old. I was on the farm with my grandfather, and he said, "Kenneth, get in the truck and go up there at the tractor place and get me the clutch." I said, "Papa, I don't know how to drive." He said, "How old are you?" I said, 9. He said, "Come on." So we got in the truck and got out there in the pasture. Man, I ground and made noise with those gears. They were not sinking you mesh. They're just old Ford gears, wham, wham, rack, rack. You know, come over here and slap it down here and up and over there and up here and then like that. Had to make the H.
Yes, sir. Right.
That's the way I learned how to drive. So, and, but it was the basic fundamental of that. And things progressed over the years based on the basic fundamentals of the people that invented it. So, you take, I've always been an athlete all my life. My dad was a pitcher, and so he taught me in baseball, and then I played football. But now the game of baseball is a very old game. And for the big money, why do they call it basketball? The clock ticking. Well, anybody could have come up with that. It like to have been called box ball. You got it. They were looking for a game between baseball and football that could be played indoors. So a guy took a pole and stuck it up and got a box and put up there, and Spalding made the first ball. And they threw it up there in that box, but they had to go up there and get it. And he was looking for more boxes. And he found some peach baskets and cut the bottom out of it where the ball would fall through it. That was the first basic fundamental of basketball. And it had a purpose. You could play it inside. So what do you see now? Masters of the fundamentals. Nobody's ever mastered the game. Nobody has ever mastered the game of golf, even at the Masters. That game will eat you alive. I decided I was going to play a little bit, and I thought, man, I'm frustrated enough now. I don't want to get into this. I couldn't settle down at it. I was too competitive, and finally I decided I wouldn't do that anymore. But when you watch the World Series, when you're watching the Little League World Series, they're the masters of the fundamentals at their age. What does it take? A lot of practice and learning and going back over it and over it and over it. Vince Lombardo, arguably the best, had a losing season. He did not like to lose. So at the next training session, he walked out there and said, "Gentlemen, this is a football. This is where we're going to start." Well, I've always taken things to aviation because I spent more time studying that. Other than the Bible, I studied that more than anything else because there was a time that it was a huge part of my life. And, well, it still is, but anyway, during World War II, the basic fundamentals. It was so basic that an instructor would walk up to the airplane and say, "Gentlemen, this is an airplane. And beginning here at the front end, that is a propeller. And that's the engine. This is the leading edge of the wing. I'm going to go through some fundamentals and I'm going to lose you real quick. So far, you're okay, right? Stay with me. We're going to walk around the end of the wing. And this is the aileron. The what? The aileron. Okay. Okay, stay with me. This is the fuselage. This is the empennage. This is the horizontal stabilizer. And back here we have the elevator. You mean an airplane has an elevator? It does go up and down, you understand? Well, that's just not hard to understand at all. That's as fundamental as you can get. And all airplanes from a J-3 Cub to a rocket ship started off on those basic fundamentals. And when they built the Boeing 707, it was it. But when they went to the 747, Boeing had to revisit aeronautics to build that big of an airplane because the wing had to have 15 feet of flex. Wow. 30 feet. I believe that's right, Charles. 15 up and 15 down. That thing's so heavy. But it's still a fuselage, a leading edge, and ailerons, and a horizontal stabilizer with a rudder, and a vertical stabilizer with an elevator in the back that goes up and down. And some of them had some in the inside that went up and down. It's so big. But that's fundamental. That's where it all started. So you take those fundamental aeronautical laws and you build on them. When you begin to learn the laws of the Spirit, where you see, a spirit created the atmosphere in which the airplane flies. He already knew that because there's been birds for as long as there has been an earth. And men couldn't help but look and wonder. Why can't we do that? And now we can. And as I told you earlier, the ones that did it first, there was a German that was right behind them. But the Wright brothers, born again Methodist, and their dad founded the Wright Methodist Seminary in Dayton, Ohio. And so the Lord had an interest in it. And as I told you earlier, they sent him a wire and said, "We have an audience with the king." He said, "Wonderful, don't drink her wine." So God was in the middle of that all the time to get us off of the ground because his preachers needed to go high and fast and get it done. For all things, the television wasn't created to sell things to people. That's fine. There is some stuff on there that is not fine. But all things were created for and by him. And there's a man told me, he said, can you help me? And I said, I will if I can. He said, "You're on television." I said, "Well, yeah." He said, "Our denomination preached against it." And he said, I know full well that some of our ministers have them in their home, but they don't dare talk about it. And he said, we're losing out. We can't get on there now after we shot our mouths off and preached against it. What'll we do? I said, repent. Tell the truth and get on there. Oh, he said, I never thought of that. Well, yeah, just stand up and tell the folks we're wrong. I mean, he's the overseer. Just get up there and tell them, folks, we're wrong. We're losing out. We call this the one-eyed demon, and it turned out to be God Almighty. And here we are on the outside looking in. So now, the fundamentals of faith. Faith is a spiritual force, and it is the substance of things hoped for. So it is a spiritual force and not mental. Of course, you begin with Mark 11. Let's turn over there. I want to read this, the RFW translation from the book of James. You don't need to turn there because you know it very well, but we're going to incorporate this in our study in the second chapter. My brethren, while holding to your faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, who is the glory, do not show partiality. Suppose a man comes into your meetings wearing gold rings and so forth. Now, come to the 14th verse. Well, I'll tell you what, I'm going to turn there and compare it with the Standard Version. In chapter 2. And verse 14, what doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works, can faith save him? If a brother or sister naked, destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, and be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding, you give them not those things which are needful to the body, and does it profit? Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Now listen to this. What good is it, my brethren, if a man professes to have faith, yet his actions do not correspond? Can such faith save him? Suppose a brother and sister poorly clad or lack daily food, and one of you says to him, fare you well, keep yourselves warm and well fed, yet you do not supply their bodily needs. What's the use of that? So also faith, if it is unaccompanied by obedience, is dead in itself. Nay, someone will say, you have faith, I have actions. Prove to me your faith apart from corresponding action, and I will prove mine to you by my actions. You believe that God is one, and you're quite right. Evil spirits believe that and shudder. But idle boaster, are you willing to be taught that faith apart from obedience is worthless? Was it not because of his actions that Abraham, our father, declared to be righteous when he was offered up his son Isaac upon the altar? You notice that his faith was cooperating with his actions, and by his action, his faith was perfected, and the scripture was fulfilled. It says, and Abraham believed God, his faith was accredited to him for righteousness. Amen. That seems like it just, all of a sudden, action that corresponds. I preached for a pastor one time, and he said, you're just way too picky about words. I said, no, sir, I'm very picky about words, my words. I said, what you do with yours is your business. But I'm gonna give you my testimony, that's all I can do, and tell you what the scripture says about it. But I learned the hard way. Well, not altogether, because I had so much advantage by listening to Brother Hagin and Oral Roberts and the things that they had learned about it, and others too. T.L. Osborne, my. I talked to T.L. Osborne. He said, Kenneth, you're born free. He said, you didn't have any religion to unlearn. I didn't. The first preaching I ever heard was faith. Gloria too. So we came up under that. So Gloria and I began to say to one another, that's your confession and I believe it. And the Lord began to correct me. He said, stop using the vocabulary and words based in the law of sin and death to express yourself. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has redeemed us from the law of sin and death. I said, how is that, sir? He said, use biblical words to express yourself. They are there. That is wonderful and it's marvelous in my eyes. That's the work of the Lord and it's awesome. Instead of, doesn't that just thrill you to death? Yeah. What? Well, that is a huge habit. Not in only English, but in other languages also. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, my. My feet are just killing me. That's a lie. You didn't die. Then the Lord said, when you tell somebody you're going to be there at 3, don't get there at 3:05. When you did, you lied. Be punctual. Be a man of faith. Be a woman of faith. And if there's going to be a problem with it, let someone know. I had a man call me one time, and he said, I want you to come hold me a meeting, and so forth and so on. And he said, will you do it? And I said, not till I pray about it. So I prayed about it, and the Lord said, no, I don't want you to go there. And so that I didn't need any more than that. I did not need to know a reason why. Unless I had a desire to go, brother. I was just doing what this man said. And so then he called me back. He said, are you coming? I said, no. Well, why not? I said, well, two reasons. One, I don't want to. And another, when I prayed about it, the Lord said, don't come. He got mad at me. And all I didn't say it ugly. But he's not used to anybody telling him the truth. Well, you see, I'm already scheduled, blah, blah, blah. The whole mess would have been a lie. I could have been more tactful about it. I know. But at the time, I was learning. No, I told him, I said, and there's two things. I said, now, when I prayed about it, in the first place, I don't want to come. I don't have anything in my spirit to cause me to want to. But I told you I'd pray, and I did. And I spent time enough to find out. And my answer was, don't go. I said, that doesn't mean it might not be in the future. But if I told you anything else, it would be less than the truth. That's almost unheard of. But that's basic fundamental in the Spirit. Because if you're going to walk by faith, then these things have to be part of your life. Now, let me tell you this. It took me a while to find this out. The just shall live by faith. We live this way. Our lives are sustained by our faith in His Word and by our faith in the covenants that this book establishes. We live that way. No person that lives by faith has to change his or her lifestyle because of the times. We walk by faith when times are good. We walk by faith when times are calm. We walk by faith when times are terrible. And now, let me share this with you. The largest fortunes in this country have always been made in bad times, not good times. That's when the people that have the funds to do so invest and take advantage of what people dump out of fear. 99% of it is out of fear. Oh, let's get rid of this. And then after it's over, try to buy it all back at a higher price. You remain the tail and not the head. That threw out that whole thing. And that is not what the Bible teaches. What did the Apostle Paul teach Timothy? Preach the word in season and in out. You just preach the word all the time. Good times, bad times, when it looks good, when it doesn't look all that good. And besides that, how would you like to have the Apostle John and the mother of Jesus in your congregation? That'd straighten your day up, wouldn't it? Look out there and say, what am I doing here? That's the reason he said, don't let anybody despise your youth. You're a pastor of that church. God put you there. So pastor it. Preach the word. Don't preach your opinions and your ideas. Preach the book. So, now let's go back here to Mark 11. This is where I learned it from Brother Hagin. Now, I want to remind you something now. He was born very, very premature to save the life of his mother in August of 1917 in a very small town in East Texas to start with. Back in 1917, Dallas didn't have but something like 9,000 people in it. 1917, that's World War I, you understand? And he was premature to start with in a little small town of McKinney, which is over there close to Dallas. And he was so premature that when he was born, the doctors thought he was dead. And his grandmother found a spark of life about him. Now, premature is one thing, but 2 or 3 pounds is another. But he had a call on his life. And his grandmother fed him a little milk out of an eyedropper. His heart wouldn't work right. The day he was healed, he weighed 89. And he got it right here in Mark 11. He said, I knew my healing was there. And he told the Lord, he said, if you ever get me up off this bed, I'll come off here preaching. So one morning, he'd just been standing. He said, I finally realized I'm going to have to believe I have it before I have it so I can have it. Now, that's a basic fundamental. I have to believe I have it before I have it so I can have it. That throws a lot of people. But he got it right here. So one morning the Lord said, so you believe you're healed? He said, yes, I do. Of course, he wasn't hearing it audible, but he's speaking out loud. Yes, I do. And the Lord said, healed people ought to be up this time of day. So he started getting up. And he was paralyzed from the waist down. And he had to throw his legs out of the bed, he said, just like two chunks of wood, and draped around the bedpost. And he said, I want to announce to Almighty God, the Lord Jesus Christ, and every angel in the room, and every devil of hell, I am healed from the top of my head to the soles of my feet. He said, I didn't want to leave out anything. And he said, I hung there on that bedpost, and all of a sudden, I started feeling in my legs, and he said those nerves started coming alive. He said it felt like 10,000 needles sticking in my legs. He said I began to cry. He said I began to cry because it hurt so good. I could feel it. And he said within, what was it, Keith, 30 seconds or so, he was standing up straight in the room at 89 pounds, healed.
When you pray, believe you receive it. Not after you see it, not after you feel it. When you pray, believe you receive it, and you will have it.
Join us for the Chattanooga Victory Campaign with Kenneth Copeland and Jerry Savelle, June 22nd through the 24th. Register at kcm.org/TN today.
As a believer, you already meet all the qualifications to being an overcomer. If you're feeling beat down in any area, professionally, socially, physically, or mentally, faith is the key to stepping over into the victory side. In the audio series, Faith, How It Works, Kenneth Copeland's teachings can help you grasp God's faith formula that is found in the Word of God. Get your questions answered through this important foundational teaching. What is faith, and where does it come from? Who has faith? How do you get more faith? How can faith help you live a better life? No weapon of the enemy is a match for faith released. Faith comes by hearing the word of God, and speaking the word releases faith. Take the first steps toward living a God-pleasing life full of love, hope, and victory by receiving this impactful teaching into your heart today. Learn how to use the world-overcoming faith God has given you. The weapons of the enemy are no match for faith when it's released. Request your free copy of Kenneth Copeland's MP3 series, Faith, How It Works, on kcm.org.uk/TV special or call 01225-787-310. This free offer is good for 30 days. Postage charges may apply. For more information, contact your regional office today.
Hello, I'm Larry Warren. Faith in God makes everything work for your good. It changes things within you and changes things around you. Kenneth and Gloria Copeland want to sow this teaching series into your life called Faith, How It Works. In this four-part audio series, you will learn how to apply God's faith formula that is revealed in His Word. Brother Copeland teaches you what faith is, where it comes from, and how to release it. Wherever you are in your walk of faith, use this teaching to stay sharp and ready with your faith. So it is always developing, staying active, and connecting with God's promises. To receive your free copy of Faith, How It Works, go to kcm.org. You can request it on MP3 disc or download it right from our website. The important thing is to get started and take the steps towards living a faith-filled life. Brother Copeland and Jerry Savelle are coming to Chattanooga, Tennessee, June 22nd through the 24th for the Chattanooga Victory Campaign. This will be a time of spiritual refreshing and encouragement as you receive wisdom, direction, and answers from God. Be totally immersed in the Word of God at this three-day event and take your faith to a new level in God. The Chattanooga Victory Campaign is free to attend, so register today at kcm.org. This is Brother Larry reminding you, God loves you, we sure love you, and Jesus is Lord.
Thank you for joining us on the Believer's Voice of Victory. Kenneth and Gloria Copeland want you to be victorious in life. Go to kcm.org.uk for free ministry resources and teaching tools to help you grow in faith and live in the blessing of the Lord. Stay connected with us through our website and all of our social channels to help us keep you informed and up to date on ministry outreaches, upcoming events, and specials that are available to you.